Good afternoon. Welcome back to the programme. Let's just reintroduce our panel of guests joining us today. We have Michael Wallace, who's a managing partner with Wallace Marketing Consultants, and Hattie Bowering, who is a film, a TV producer, director. Are you a writer as well?
Yes.
Do you write your scripts and everything? Multi-talented lady joining us. But it's over to you now, Michael, for your first story, if you'd like to tell us.
Well, which one would you like me to address first? I can talk about the Nation branding.
Or yeah, let's do that one. Nation branding.
Well, the Nation branding one is interesting. It caught my attention because as a public relations agency, we do quite a bit of work and have done quite a bit of work over the years with nations. So we represent the UK where tourism is concerned. We represent Singapore where tourism is concerned. We've done a great deal of work with Egypt, both on the tourism side, but also with the inward investment. And I mentioned that as background to this article because I was in Thailand on a golf holiday and I was flying back and reading The Economist, as I like to do. And I caught sight of this article labeled Brand of Dreams, America is Wooing Foreign Tourists for the First Time. And it's interesting because, and I'm speaking prejudicially because I'm an American national, but everyone knows America. So the idea that America would be spending tens of millions of dollars on a branding campaign so that people would know about them, not just think favorably of them, but would know about them, seems a bit ridiculous. The United States, for those who don't know, is the most visited country in the world after France.
See, I didn't know that. That's what I didn't realize. France was the second most visited country.
No, it's the first. It's the first. The U.S. is the second. The U.S. is the second.
That's incredible.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. The difference, I'll just add quickly, is that I think when you go to the United States, you want to stay. I think when you visit France, after about a week, you're ready to leave France. I think they're probably a lot lighter with visa restrictions than we are.
Yes, of course.
What makes it interesting, though, is that the consultancy group, McKinsey, have looked at the missed opportunity that the United States has foregone over the last 10 years, 67 million potential tourists, and put a dollar figure on that. And that's what's gotten the attention of taxpayers. We have foregone something like, is it $215 billion over 10 years? The other interesting takeaway for me living in Dubai, which is a place which is obsessed with tourism and driving its economy forward, is that every country in the world relies on tourism. Mm-hmm. Even the United States, which is the world's biggest economy and is doing a million other things and is a producer to the world and a service provider to the world, tourism is critically important. Really, really important. The other interesting takeaway for me is that at the tail end of the story, mention is made of a gentleman's name, Simon Anholt, who is sort of the godfather of nation branding. And he makes a really good point, not in this article, but in his famous book that he wrote in 1998 and subsequent books that he's written, that the way people around the world view a country not only affects its tourism, it affects its business, and ultimately it affects its ability to exercise diplomacy around the world. So it's really critically important.
Yeah, it's all very much linked, isn't it?
Yep.
But I thought it was also quite interesting that the campaign. Have you actually seen any of the campaign?
I have not, so right. I'm eager to see it.
Yeah, apparently there's shots of attractive people having fun, right. And Roseanne Cash, daughter of Johnny Cash, and a multicultural assortment of musicians tell the world that it's closer than it seems. Come and find your land of dreams.
That made me cringe.
Yeah, well, the United States is exceptional in many ways, but when it comes to cheesy taglines, I think it's like everyone else. It falls for the cheese. So that's all a bit embarrassing.
I don't know. It kind of works, though, I suppose.
But ultimately, it's kind of looking back at nostalgia because it was everybody's land of dreams.
Yes.
No, I get it. It just doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yes. Still selling that post-war dream.
Yes.
But is it a sense of complacency, do you think, that it has sort of slacked and missed, as you said, these possible opportunities of the, you know, the billion-plus figure?
Well, I think in fairness to the situation, a lot of it has to do with 9/11. Because the truth is, everyone wants to go to the United States, and if they eased visa restrictions, those numbers would shoot up. What I think is interesting is these visa restrictions that have been put in place post 9/11 presumably will continue to be in place, and what the United States, I guess, is looking for is not just more tourists, but better tourists, a higher quality of tourists, who stay longer, who spend more. So, you know, in the industry, they measure the number of nights that you stay, and what your spend is, and they have a whole matrix by which they qualify visitors. So
you don't foresee a sort of a loosening, as you said, of any of the visa?
I don't think so.
But I mean, surely that's one of the main reasons, though, that people won't go.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. From certain countries anyway, right. Or even, well, even for the UK, from the UK, you still have to get a visa, and dealing with sort of the, you know, the embassies is can be quite difficult.
That's right.
And the length of time it takes also right. to actually get the visas, etc. can.
But, you know, you also mentioned the word complacency, and I think if you're a premier destination, as is the UK or Singapore or the United States, you just make the assumption that your numbers will continue to increase in line with the global growth of outward bound tourism, and that's not the case. Obviously, there, as is the case with any industry, it changes over time. There are other nations, other cities, other destinations marketing themselves very aggressively. If you're not doing it, you'll ultimately lose your share of voice and therefore your market share.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's interesting. It's, you know, obviously London has got the Olympics. That's their big pool at the moment. You know, there's the Expo, of course, which is Dubai is bidding for now. What and America's got everything, and you know, but what is it that you think they will? Because how do you, in a nutshell, in a sort of what 30-second ad or a 1 minute, whatever, 2 minute ad on TV, how do you sell America? Because there's just so much of it, you know, East Coast, West Coast, North, South. I mean, it's, you know, it's a how many feels like many different countries in one.
The United States is, and again, I'm trying to be as
diplomatic as possible.
Obviously, I've got a bias. The United States, I think, is the world's premier demand destination, and a demand destination is a place where people want to be. Full stop. I mean, that's how I would describe it. Now, there are some assets that demand destinations have, whether it's a country or a city, that help determine that destination's ability to tell its story. And the story really is the unique selling product, not the product or the service. So the unique selling point, rather. So I think there are certain things that visitors and investors look for, and they are exceptional architecture, culture, arts, sporting excellence, the friendliness of local people, affordable housing, attractive employee legislation, the strong currency, a stable government, these types of things. And what this gentleman, Simon Anholt, is famous for is communicating to destinations that what changes or improves the likelihood that a destination will be a demand destination is its ability to marshal all of those assets as opposed to telling the story. So it's you change your reputation by changing your behavior and your public policy, not by telling a different story.
I think it's interesting. I think it's slightly linked, I suppose, but there was a story a couple of weeks ago, actually you weren't here for that, where you've probably seen it as well, is that Dubai is looking for a logo.
Yeah.
And they've put it, it's a competition, they've shortlisted it to five, and it's a great idea actually, and they've got a website where they're looking for people to choose the logo of choice, and that will then become the Dubai logo. And I just thought that was, and the conversation then started, you know, what do you think of when you think of countries from around the world? And now there are animal symbols, there are vegetables, you know, there are signs and this, that and the other. And is that, do you think that should be part of, you know, you're talking about branding, like a product, and branding is so powerful these days. Do you foresee
what
that there might be
talking about? Yeah, what you're talking about is really a visual identity,
exactly,
which supports the brand. And
what would it be? Is it still the stars and stripes?
I have a really, really hard time with it. And again, I'm reflecting my bias as a 15-year resident in Dubai. But I think the UAE is so, I know that to the outside world, it's a fairly homogeneous place. But for me, Abu Dhabi and Dubai are so different that to try to put their brands together with one visual identity is hugely problematic.
And let's not forget
the other five Emirates. Yeah. Exactly.
But as far as America is concerned, what would you say is the brand of America? I mean, is it
I think it's the Stars and Stripes. In the same way that for the UK, it's got to be the Union Jack. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, but that's
cornstarch.
It's the burger or the Sunshine State. I mean, you know, each one has got all these various different emblems and logos, and you know, in the UK, and we were trying to think of what it is for the UK, because there was the tiger, there was the rose, there's Scotland, there's a thistle, there's the leek in Wales.
I always think of the lion rampant, but when it comes to the USA, I was saying, you know, it's sold to us all the time in the movies. Possibly in a way that other destinations, you know, it's not that it's proposed as a destination, but I think of the idea of New York, the yellow cats.
Well, there's the Statue of Liberty as well.
They're always there, the Statue of Liberty, exactly.
But that's very specific to a city.
But ultimately, I think it kind of makes you think of the USA. Maybe I'm just strange.
Bruce Springsteen.
But Ralph Lauren was getting a bit of a rap on the knuckles in the kind of fashion environment the other day, because he's just revealed the uniforms that the American
Olympians,
yes, will wear to London.
Was he designed them?
He's designed them, and
he's got a bit of a lock on sport, hasn't he? He did Wimbledon, right? He did all of Wimbledon. It's different.
Is he in the golf arena as well?
He is, actually, yes, but I think he's doing.
It's looking very French. He's put berets on people and a lot of red and blue.
Something hugely ironic about that, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it was the Grace Coddington Twitter feed, and she'd kind of asked, "What do you think?" And you looked at
what did she think?
She didn't. Well, she doesn't say what she thinks, but it was the berets. And it was almost, to me, it looked like very kind
it's
of
not very 50s. Nationalistic.
Well, it looked
it?
Like very 50s America, and I would say, going by the movies, because that's what's kind of putting the ideas into your head. It was very, it's very restrained, very constrained. It's not this kind of free, liberated world. It was all very kind of tied up. Guys, with six buttons on the jackets. It was just two kind of 50s. But anyway,
have you seen Stella McCartney's designs for the British
I haven't.
Team? She got a lot of
flack
for that, yeah.
Why?
Because they're a bit wishy-washy. Right. These blues and whites. The idea of the psychology of sport, you're meant to have quite a lot of black and red to kind of show
strong colours, right?
And hers a bit kind
that.
Of
well, Tiger Woods was a lot of red and black.
But you see, it's interesting because it goes back to the branding issue. What is it that we expect? How do you create a posterised idea in a whether it's a garment, whether it is a symbol that absolutely gives it to everybody, everybody says, yes, I get it, and they don't have, anything negative to say. Well, I think it's almost impossible to do.
It was quite interesting, and there was a story a couple of weeks ago on the technology show, and it was about how various different countries, particularly those of more wealthy countries, let's say, can afford these great newfangled technological kind of clothing, such as, for example, the swimsuits, these all-in-one swimsuits, or shoes, special running shoes, and these various different kits, and how they can actually enhance their performance. People were saying they should go back to the Greeks and just wear nothing at all. I don't know. I don't think that'll work. But it has. I mean, it's all become about the clothes. We've got the best, the shoes, and is it surely the Olympics? Hopefully, should be some arena of sorts where it's all neutral, where people compete because of their abilities, not because of the trainers that they're wearing or the swimsuits that they're wearing. It should be a level playing field.
The
so
marketing
to speak.
World won't
for,
like
for the world. They have, yeah. Instead of us all talking about the branding of Stella McCartney's and
but
Ralph
you would,
Lauren's
you would lose that
clothing.
On a lot. You would lose that on a lot of the kind of small talk that makes for interesting big talk. So how you kind of, find a kind of, generalistic position, I'm not sure.
They should all wear the same thing.
We've been wrapped on the knuckles, by the way. Somebody's saying
yes,
it's
I do
UAE
apologize.
Logo, not
yes.
the Dubai logo. Yes, UAE.
My fault.
And
you're absolutely
and Michael
right.
was
you.
Saying, how do you kind of bring Abu Dhabi and Dubai together? Also, one of the things that I've always thought, when I see logos that are meant to represent the UAE, they look like government entity logos.
Right.
They're not kind of getting the spirit of the place. When you think of the logo for Spain, you could almost jump into it as if you're Mary Poppins and do a flamenco, And what I see coming out of the design studios here, it's like, oh my God.
It's very this corporate is message.
Yeah, very yes. corporate. Yes. It doesn't give any of the kind of Arab hospitality that, as residents of this
tourism
place,
as well,
we are aware of. Absolutely.
Well, we must take another quick break, actually. And Camille has just texted in earlier for you, Michael. Says, I'm French and can't believe France is number one when you know how unfriendly we can be, she says. Dear. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back after this.